start the program by administering precepts. So those who wish to take 8 precepts may start chanting Namo Tassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi සරණගමනං සම්පුන්නං පානාති පාතා වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි අදින්නා දාන වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි අබ්‍රහ්මචර්යා වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි මුසාවාදා වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි සුරාමේරය මජ්ජපමා දට්ඨාන වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි විකාල භෝජනා වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි නච්ච ගීත වාදිත විසුක දස්සන මාලා ගන්ධ විලේපන ධාරණ මණ්ඩන විභූෂණට්ඨාන වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි උච්චාසයන මහාසයන වේරමණී සික්ඛාපදං සමාදියාමි තිසරණේන සද්ධින් උපෝසත අට්ඨංග සීලං ධම්මං සාදුකං සුරක්ඛිතං කତ୍වා අපමාදේන සම්පාදේ තබ්බං කේනෝ ටයිම් ඉන්ඩිකේට්ස් 8:43 and till 9 o'clock we have time for instructions and 9 o'clock onward time allocated for sitting meditation for 45 minutes there are two ways available one thing is I have a recorded Dhamma talk also for how to do sitting meditation or instead I can do guided meditation also. So is the recorded talk available? So having said that, I would like to take time to introduce the kind of meditation we are going to prescribe for this retreat as well as generally for this from the Nisarnavanaya. As mentioned in this rules, the very first thing we are doing with the Theravada tradition, and therefore whole retreat we can recognize as retreat of Satipatthana or establishment of mindfulness. So
my duty is to just introduce mindfulness and to come out with suggestions, with suggestions to how to incorporate, how to be mindful in our retreat times. So, as far as the mindfulness is concerned, it needs so much of introduction as well as the definition, because often we are unmindful. Therefore, whenever the mindfulness is introduced, it appearing something abnormal. It is not in our day-to-day jargon, in our day-to-day activities. So, therefore, mindfulness all the time needs kind of a definition. So, to make it simple, whenever someone is be here and now, that is, we can, in pragmatic terms, we can say mindful. So, throughout the time, we try to individually to be here and now. To achieve this, we come out with three methods. In the meditation jargon, it is called sitting meditation, walking meditation, and to be mindful in day-to-day activities. Whenever we take these three methods in order to incorporate mindfulness into our life, the easiest way to start with is how to develop mindfulness in sitting meditation. So the Buddha, whenever he used to explain mindfulness, he used to give internal and external atmosphere or surrounding before getting into the subject matter. So, therefore, wherever he mentioned about the mindfulness, the microclimate and the macroclimate is been defined. So, in Pali, if I am to quote, Aranyagatova, Rukhamulagatova, Sunyagaragatova, that is to explain the macroclimate. It is just like an operation theater for a successful operation, surgical operation. Likewise, the Buddha says, for this mindfulness, for this meditation, the best place is to entering into a forest. The second thing is, the best vibration you get under a tree. The third one is a solitude place. So, whenever you all traveling from all the corners of the world, you all prefer to have this forest. So, that is because we have the sense, we can feel it, the forest is the best, and that is been prescribed by the Buddha also. In absence of the thick forest, we can go under a tree or a place like this. This is called a solitude because this is free from the being, those who are in the sensuous pleasure. So we, each other, must make it sure we did not come here to indulge other sensuous pleasures. Therefore, to make the atmosphere, to make the vibration better, we each and every must refrain from this sensuous gratification and the indulgence. So, therefore, we must maintain this atmosphere. And once you define and go there, I mean that entering into the forest or under a tree or coming to a place like this, as far as the microclimate is concerned, there are four postures. Individually, we have four cardinal postures, sitting posture, standing posture, the walking posture, and the lying down incline. So, out of these four, specifically for the beginners, the Buddha has mentioned, sitting is the best. So, whenever we get a place like this, and a group also interested into the same object, we assume the sitting posture. So, I have to take little time to define the best posture. I am fortunate because we have the statue of the Buddha that is to depict how he sit whenever he wish to develop mindfulness and the meditation. So, if you look at it, you can see once you assume the posture, it is like a shape of a pyramid in Cairo. one complete triangle is touching on the ground. And you once you keep the hands in such a way, it is every side it is triangular in shape. So this is the most established architectural structure. You can maintain easier and very little imbalance. Otherwise, in Sri Lankan examples, we can see Dagaba or the Chetia is also a bell-shaped one. It's also well-established. Or the other simple thing is an ant hill, also the same shape. It is well-established on the ground and go up like a conical shape. So, once you come up to this the sitting posture, you must feel you are symmetrical and you must feel you are relaxed. Before going into detail, I would say this posture is not a must. This is the theoretical maximum, this is the best. But many may find it is very difficult to go and sit like this due to the ailments and your old age and other problems. So under such circumstances, you have to adjust accordingly. For example, sitting on a meditation bench or straight back chair, so that your back must be, the spinal cord must be straight. So, therefore, whenever you go to a meditation hall, you may see many, many postures, many, many sitting benches and cushions, but this posture is the best. This posture is the ideal thing. So, if you are a yoga practitioner, easily you may assume it. Otherwise, don't make it a burden. Just sit in a comfortable way. And once you sit, in order to make your posture conducive, in order to make your posture to that level, your mind must be happily or in a relaxed way dwelling inside the body. I'm emphasizing it because if the posture is not comfortable, if the place is not ideal, if the place is not with medium amount of light and the air movements, the body, mind feel uncomfortable, feel alienated, so it may run up and down and think yesterday and tomorrow and other places and other people. Unless otherwise you feel comfortable, you feel relaxed, you feel at home feeling, then only you can expect mind to dwell within the body, so to say. So now is the time to define the mindfulness in the practical sense. Whenever you sit and mildly close your eyes and to experience here, now, I am sitting. Or you can say, here, now, I am. So this is the practically, this is the way you can feel whether the mindfulness is intact. So, if it is not so, if the mind feel uncomfortable, so you have to understand your preparation, your groundwork is not up to the mark. So, it is just a common sense to make it comfortable, more make it relaxed, so that mind naturally will come and rest, dwell on the body. So, once that is achieved, that is to say, here, now I am, so you started, you step in to the mindfulness. To make it more emphatic or dramatic, I would say, if you are to keep the mind for a split second, thought moment, and to recognize that now I am here, you have to forget about the rest of the world. This is the biggest generosity, biggest generous action, generous thought moment you are entertaining. If you have any kind of a reference to the world or thinking about the yesterday and tomorrow, other places and other people, mind will never come and rest on this particular the alignment, so to say, here now I am. So each and every thought moment, experiencing, appreciating, here now I am means you are increasing the number of thought moments on the mindfulness and you are ready to forego the whole world. So therefore, it is something you can experience it. It is something to be promoted. It is something you yourself has to take responsibilities. And do it in a relaxed way to keep the mind here and now. And when you are doing it, whenever the mind come to the one thought moment, you have no chance to experience it. So it must be number of thought moments, consecutive thought moments, then only you can experience, here am I am. So it's a very spiritual thing. It's a very good start. So you try to be here, now I am. So throughout that, you are within the body and experiencing just being. That is called just being. In technical sense, one can say without any intention, without any ambition, without any motivation, just be, just being. So whenever that is being familiarized, you may sometime experience there is a kind of a perception, there is a kind of a feeling to indicate you, I am not dead. I am not sleepy. I am not unfainted. I am awake. So your eyes are closed and mind feel comfortable at the body. And whenever the mind is mindful, or you can say diligent, you feel I am not dead. You can feel the existence, just be. You can feel I am not sleepy. I am not fainted. So this is a very good indication, very good sign that the mindfulness is continuing. So there the Buddha step in and he suggests whenever the mind to experience this here and now I am moment, experience not dead, not sleepy, not fainted, the breath, the movement of air appear like the intrinsically the bare minimum activity of the involuntary muscles to maintain the life continuum. So some people at that moment will understand, in order to make sure that I am not dead, I am not sleepy, I am not fainted, the air movement. So that is a very good sign. If you are to understand this respiration, you can see this is the indication, the bare minimum indication that I am living. I am living in the present moment. Then onward, lot of techniques, lot of methods and all the things are coming. So up to that moment, you must make the mind as clear as possible, as liberated as possible. Don't try to chase behind this method and that method. And that is the way you make the meditation very simple. Meditation become very straightforward. So you feel the living, the being. Sometimes with the rest, with the help of the breathing, or sometimes maybe without that also. So to make the long story short, if you are to feel the breathing, you must make sure it is not forced breathing. You must make it sure it is happening through the involuntary muscles and it is happening in a natural way. Because many yogis, due to their too much of tension and too much of expectation of the results and kind of thing, chasing behind and ultimately they start artificial breathing and the forced breathing and end up with headaches and tensions. So therefore, make it as natural as possible. If the breath is not appearing, well and good, you make sure here now I am. If the breath is happening, there are a lot of steps you can go forward, therefore it is a good sign, but don't try to chase behind it, or don't worry thinking that I can't feel the breath. Supposing that you have the feeling, you have the contact with the breath, you let the breathing to take place in the natural speed and natural momentum. And there are, if you are sharp enough, you may see the air movement and the breathing process, active process, is usually happening in your upper part of your body. And the lower part is just giving the anchorage to the upper part. So, if you are to recognize that, you can simply forget about the lower part of your body and bring the attention to the active activity of breathing, even though it is you are not doing forced breathing. So in order to bring the attention to the body, you have to forget about the whole world. If you wish to bring the attention to the upper part, you have to forget about the lower part. So you have to understand the mindfulness is always relative. You have to be forgetful about something, then only the mindfulness becomes very sharp, very focused and very concentrated. If you are forgetful, if you are let go the whole world, your mindfulness on the body will be very bright. And when the breathing come into scene, if you are to focus on the upper part, you can see you are not worrying about, you just let go the lower part of the body. In order to let go, it must sit in comfortable symmetrical way. That is why at the beginning you set it in a comfortable way. So suppose now we are to see natural breathing on the upper part of your body. You do it, you let it happen in the natural speed and observe as is someone else. As if you are a neutral observer, observing the breathing place, breathing process. So when it is happening, to make the mindfulness very sharp and make mindfulness very continuous, yet another technique, yet another aspect you can be aware of, that is to say, which in the upper part of your body, which is the most touching point, which is the most prominent touching point of the air draft. It's a very subtle issue. Many find it is difficult to locate a particular pinpointed point. Even if you find difficult, it is not a big mistake, it is not a big miss. But if you can find the touching point, and that make more and more focused mindfulness, that is, you are giving a support to the concentration, the one-pointedness. Some people find it is at the uppermost area of the respiratory tract, that is to say, end of the nostrils, or top of your upper lip, according to your configuration. Anatomical configuration. Some people find it the lowermost part of the respiratory tract, that is the diaphragm, movements of the diaphragm, prominent. Whenever you are reading authentic text, you find references towards the breathing, in-breath and out-breath. But later, Venerable Mahasi Shiado from Burma, he found the people, those who have not know much of subtle sensitivity, find difficult to locate the breath. So, under such circumstances, he came out with the second option, that is to say, rising and falling of the abdomen, that is the movements of the abdomen, movements of the diaphragm. It may be touching your clothings, or you may feel how is the rising and falling happen. One technical point is, if you are to look at the breath, in-breath start very subtle and become gross, brushing your nostrils and get out, and again it becomes subtle. Again the out-breath happen very subtle and brushing and rushing, and again subtle down, and therefore two waves per one breath, in-breath and out-breath. But if you are to look at the in-breath, the rising and falling, it is single wave, very big one, in-breath appear like increasing, and the highest rising and then falling happen. Therefore, instead of two small waves, in rising and falling, you may get one single big amplitude, big wave. So, therefore, its grossness is higher. So, fine, easy to locate by the people, those who are not well trained. Therefore, there is no comparison possible whether to go for breathing or whether to go for rising and falling. Let it happen in the natural way. You must be so sensitive, careful not to fork your fingers to select this or that. Let the body to select it. Let the body knowledge to select it, whether your natural tendency is to observe the in-breath and out-breath, at the nostril level or to see rising and falling in the abdomen. In between these two, some people may find the movements of the belly or the chest or the throat or the bend inside the nose, any place will be possible. If any such a thing happens, don't challenge it. Try to locate it and to anchor your attention to that. So that means you are focusing into that point and forgetting about the whole world. That is in the Buddhist presentation is called one-pointedness. That is to say, you start with the whole body and bring the attention to the upper part and bring attention, if possible, to the rising and falling, the abdominal movements or the nostril. So now you know your attention is so sharp. So more and more you keep this point of touch longer, more and more you will be sharp in the mindfulness and very shortcut to the concentration. But this may be too much for a beginner. But without giving the whole total picture, I can't give the emphasis. That is why I try to give three stages: whole body, upper part of the body, and the touching point. And if you excuse me, I will give some more information that will be more digestible for the experienced yogis. That is to say, whenever, for example, if you take the breath as your object of meditation, primary object, when the breath is taking place under your very nose, that means the full diligence, full vigilant, and mind is fully mindful, there are three facets, three things can represent the single process of so-called breathing. One thing is your touching point. You may see my breath is mostly touching the left nostril, right nostril, end of the nostril or top of the lip or whatever may be. And the second thing is, you are sure your mind is not wandering off with the sounds or thoughts or pains. Mind is with the breath. These two are generally easy to understand. But the third point is, if you are so sharp, if you are so diligent, if you are so vigilant, you may so clearly experience the in-breath versus out-breath. When the in-breath happens, you clearly can discriminately, discreetly, delimitedly say this is not out-breath. That is the subtlety, that is the sharpness, that is the diligence you are aiming at. So when the out-breath happens, your mind will so sure, you may see it is out-breath, it is not the in-breath, it is not the sound, it is not the pain, it is not the thought. So now your maintenance of mindfulness is just like a tightrope walking. Any single cracking sound or any pain, any thoughts can distort you. So therefore you must not be short-tempered. You must expect them whenever you are trying to keep the attention with the touching point and keeping on the breath and clearly, discreetly understanding in-breath and out-breath. The maintenance of it is just like learning how to ride a push bike or a youngster going to start walking without any other instrument, how to walk tottering, one step, two step, and then collapsing again, getting up and learning, one step, two step like. So each and every yogi, every meditator will be a newly born baby, even to the breath, even to the mindfulness. So it is the way you become rejuvenated. You must appreciate it. You must not worry about that I can't keep two, three breath, or I can't, my mind is wandering, or my disheartening or self-criticism happen is quite natural. But your progress or your enthusiasm marked by how many breaths you can continue, or how many thought moments, or how many seconds, or how many minutes you can continue. So if it is catching, well and good. Your common sense or your caring must be to increase the contact, increase the number of thoughts, increase the number of breaths, increase the number of seconds, increase number of minutes to keep as long as possible with your primary object. That is the technical part or sharp area in the meditation, what you call the sitting meditation. In order to facilitate this continuity of the mindfulness with your primary object, the late Venerable Maharshi Sayadaw came out with one technique, the labeling, the noting. That is to say, whenever you can bring the attention, get the mind, meditative mind on the track, that is to be face to face with the in-breath and out-breath, and if you wish to keep that undisturbed for a longer period, whenever the in-breath happens, you can note mentally in-breath. Whenever the out-breath happens, as out-breath, or in-out. This labeling, this noting, help regulate it to keep the track with the primary object. That's all you have to do. That's all you can do in sitting, because mind is so wandering, it is like a monkey mind. It is jumping from one to the other without any agenda. Don't make it a point to be worried. Instead, try to keep as long as possible in breath and out breath under the nose. Whenever the mind is wandered off, disturbed, again assume a beginner's mind. Again, try to again keep the mind on the in-breath and out-breath without any grumbling, without making any disappointments. Don't consider this failure as an individual failure, punishable failure. It is natural for each and every, so you have to have so much of sympathy in order to bring this positive energy up. So therefore, don't sit with the premeditated idea that I have to go for in-breath or go for rising and falling. Instead, let the body knowledge to select which is the most prominent object. Few sittings time, few days time, definitely you will recognize the most frequent object, that is to say primary object. And then outwardly only. Your skeleton, spiritual skeleton will grow and you can keep the mindfulness and the concentration continuously. So, this much I would like to mention about the sitting meditation. But, I mentioned this noting in-breath and out-breath. That is the only tool you have in order to bring the mind back on the track.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Dear Dhamma friends, we have taken almost 40 minutes for sitting. So before going into the walking meditation, I would like to give a little briefing. Just feel the body now it is available after sitting for 1 hour. How difficult and how it is cramped, and keep it in a single place so you feel the touching sensation and the pressure points and the bodily posture. Now soon we are going to change this sitting posture into the walking meditation. Just see the posture junctions changing and try to do it as mindful as possible, as slowly as possible, as silently as possible. So when compared to the instructions given on the sitting meditation, I would like to give a brief summary. So I hope it will be easier someone to understand the walking meditation with this comparison. In the walking meditation, we do a single task and then try to see the capacity of our mindfulness to cope up with that task. It's sitting meditation, no task. It is just simply doing nothing and vigilantly observing the passive breath or rising and falling, or maybe your sitting posture, and sitting, this called be sitting posture, and walking, it's a different posture. Just try to see the difference and the pressure points. And walking is a single task and observation, and sitting meditation, your basic attention is on the upper part of the body. But in the walking meditation, instead, you try to keep the hands in a not moving position or not giving much of attention to the hand, instead to see the lower part of the body. In the sitting meditation, if you are focusing the attention to the end of the nostrils or to the abdomen, single point, air movements happening. But in the walking meditation, your point of touch also changing. Left leg, left leg, right leg. In sitting meditation, it is promoting to close your eyes and observe with your mind. But in a walking meditation, don't go for closed eye situation. Always try to see, always try to open eye and just observe about 2 meters ahead of you, downcast eye. And while you are moving, try to see the left leg and right leg. And specific attentions are there when you are turning around at the end of your walking path. You are prescribed to take, if possible, a suitable place to take 30 steps in a straight walking path and a leveled one, whatever may be the area available, and try to keep the mindfulness throughout, and you may find a lot of distractions because all visual objects are happening, sounds may be, bodily movements are there, but the touching sensation, not like the breath, will be very gross, keeping your leg, right sole touch the ground or left sole touch the ground. So there's another combination of mind, lot of objects with the gross primary objects, and you can see how the sole is going to take the weight, starting from the heel to the toes and then changing to the other leg, other heel to the toes, and that is how you try to compare it. And of course, in practical sense, we must first do walking meditation and come and sit. Then body is well mobilized, just like doing sports, you do warming up. But therefore, this walking and then coming sitting will be completely different, or hopefully positive and more pleasurable. So this is what I just wanted to share with you. Go for the walking meditation. And we have about allocated time for 9:45 to 10 walking meditation. Sorry, 10 to 10 walking meditation is 10 to 10 for 10:45. 10:45 to 11:30, we have a sitting meditation. So 10:45 to 11:30. So 10:45, we may give a bell, and then you may come back and take the sitting position, and we'll go for another walking meditation. That's all I just wanted to share before going for the walking meditation. Thank you very much for listening.